Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the only thing that I've ever done that I get worse at the more I practice. I'm sitting here with Bob and Tyler Kennedy. I told you, Tyler.
Golf
I used a couple of examples
head.
I can't use, but if I practice math, if I tried to build endurance running, if I tried to get better at any discipline by working at it, you name it, you know, reading comprehension, physics, actions, physical actions too. Like I said, free throw shootings. If I tried to get faster, yep. If I tried to build up with weights and lift bigger weights, every pursuit I've ever done that I practiced at, like most human beings, I get better at the more I practice. Golf is the only thing, I've ever done in my life where the more I work at it, the more I practice, the worse I get.
That's why you keep going back for more, because you're addicted.
Wait.
It's an addiction. I hate it.
No,
I do.
You don't hate it.
Yes, I do hate it.
You don't hate it.
I love the high.
If you hate it, you wouldn't do what you're going to do today.
I especially love
drive
the high.
Drive to Greensburg to play golf
like,
after this.
Like all addicts, I especially loved the high when I first started using. Now, I don't get the high. I don't get the high as often. I don't get it, but I'm still compelled to use all the time.
Okay, if you want to liken it to a drug, that's fine, but there's also rehab. And if you go through rehab, which you will, you're going to end up being a better person because of it. And your mindset, he's brought, like, what's he doing? He brought out tees,
he might need
gloves,
some
balls.
Withdrawal here, Bob.
What are we doing?
That's it. Again, it's like I just pulled some drug paraphernalia out of my pocket. I went to reach for my microphone thing, and out come a million tees, a golf club.
Free tees at the club.
And a used ball.
Free tees at the club.
Stuffs those pants.
I stole those yesterday.
17 million tees.
Why am I getting worse?
Tyler just insulted me.
To do with your, you talk about physical repetition on things that you've gotten better at. This is a mind game. The physical I've seen your swing. He can hit it.
Yep.
Your mind has also told you to stay away from your driver, which is a poisonous thought.
I can't hit it.
No, I can't.
I can't hit it. And Tyler just ripped me, Bob. He ripped me, and he said, for someone who practiced so much, basically you suck.
I wanted to get that fire in you before we started.
And then
it feels good to be back with the boys.
He also practiced psychological warfare on the course when we played, Tyler did. He would say little things to me before I shot.
Hockey players are good at getting
under
your skin.
They're really good.
He spent his life going into the corner against guys that he knew that he had to get under the skin, and he did.
Right.
And so
that's exactly right.
We got to get a sports psychologist for
– I'm telling you, your mind is – that's your weak part.
Oh, I know.
Every
time I'm up there, I'll hit a second shot. After my first one sucks, as always, and every time I drill it, and that tells me it's 100% mental. But let's not bury the lead. Tyler walked in and
Kennedy, and that could lead to many, many observations, which already have happened here.
He has a golf. Injured playing hockey. You have a golf injury. What happened?
You went to Oakmont and snuck in a swing in one of those high rough patches.
No, I think Neville was letting their rough grow a little thicker.
It is.
I feel like every course are like, oh. That looks so much harder. So we're going to let the rough grow.
That's where that happened? In the rough.
I was going, you know those three, you know your three hybrid where they're like, it's a little bit heavier so you can get through the rough and get it down there. I don't know what happened, but I just like, it just jammed just a little bit. And I was like, oh, that kind of stung. And then I played the rest of the round. But at the end of the round, you know, you take your hat off, you shake the guy's hand. I couldn't shake his hand. I had to give him the knocks. And I'm like,
oh no.
Yeah, my wrist was starting to flare up.
Is it broken?
No. So when I was in Charleston, I went to the hospital. It was a rough hospital, too. You know when you go to the rough hospital?
Were you into emergency?
Emergency.
Well, you're going to get rough.
Oh, it was rough. So I was actually talking to the girl, and her husband or her boyfriend works at the sanctuary.
Yeah, the resort. Nice resort.
For the golf, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm the biggest loser. I'm the only one getting hurt in golf. And she goes, you'd be surprised how many guys get hurt golf. Because they start drinking, they throw their back out.
Oh, yeah.
They, you know, sometimes they, like, have their foot outside the
golf cart.
Golf cart,
right?
It's like, absolutely.
It's like all that. She goes, "You'd be surprised."
And Bob tried to run me over in a golf cart one day. Remember that, Bob?
No.
Yeah, because it never happened. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, then that.
No, I interrupted. Please.
No, and then she goes, "No, you'd be surprised."
He expected a reaction. He got the opposite reaction.
Yeah. Oh, you,
Bob's learned how to deal with me over the years.
Well, imagine you two on the golf course would be fun. Because it would be fun to have.
I've watched
Bob is actually very supportive.
Oh.
I do. I try
to support. He's emotionally supportive. Unlike you, you were trying to get mentally under my skin, under my brain, brain.
I play so much better when guys are in your grill chirping you. Because it's such a mental game, right? And that's what's wrong with you. You're like you said, Bob, he's got such a good swing. Consistent.
Yes.
But
he thinks the worst outcome, especially around the green, you're thinking the worst. You have to will yours. Do you believe in willing things to have? As a professional athlete who's won a Stanley Cup or two, do you believe that you could will yourself into a good performance? Because I do.
I think so, too. I think you can say, F it, I got to do it. You know what I mean?
Right, or a bad performance.
Well, yeah, it goes both ways.
Right.
The pendulum's gone too far in that direction for you. You need to bring it back to center.
I don't know how to bring it
back.
Yes,
you can. Just think positively.
I can't.
You got to get your
remember, drive. You That's just the, said the second shot's better. Hose B is better than Jose. Why is
what?
Hose B?
Hose?
Jose, Hose B. Whatever.
Ho.
Ho.
I played at Valley Brook yesterday, Bob. Beautiful
course.
The second a beautiful shot's course run by a man named Frank, by the way, at Valley Brook. And I couldn't get the ball in the air. After 4 years of playing, like a simple pitch from 100 yards of things going.
Again, that's your mind.
It's Key Brian Hayes. I'm hitting weak grounders.
Your mind.
Come on. I could stand out at the range and hit 100 in a row with my eyes
what
closed.
What does that say? He can do it that way, but he can't. Yeah. What's the difference?
It's his mind. It's like,
I was also trying to impress my wife. It's the first time she came out on the course.
Oh, so
I felt like a 16-year-old kid trying to impress his girlfriend. So I'm taking these giant swings. And like I said, it's Key Brian Hayes. It's a little dribbler to the pitcher. And she's laughing at me. Everybody's laughing at me.
Was she impressed with the size of your divot?
Oh, boy.
She's wondering.
Because sometimes that's the best
shot.
Does
she actually go golfing every day?
Don't raise your eyebrows at me. What are you doing in there, Austin? I said that's a compliment.
All that I do is create divots on the golf course when I was out there the other day.
Oh. How are you, Limits? I'm sorry that we've ignored you to this point. It's already 10-11.
No worries at all. I'm doing well, guys. It's good to be back with TK. I didn't see TK last week when I was on my trip.
Yeah, I didn't even introduce him. Tyler Kennedy, Stanley Cup champion, Bob
Papiani. Tyler Kennedy, I did that already. You weren't listening.
I like
it.
Yeah. No,
I like the hat, Bob.
Well, you're right. You introduced him. I'm
sorry. Tyler Kennedy.
Now, what exactly happened, Tyler? Take us through the injury, and what's the prognosis on you returning? Like, everybody's astounded at the station here that you've walked in a wrist brace.
I know. Well, I was honestly shocked, too. Like, honestly, I had – do you guys remember my fight with Scottie Upshaw?
I do.
Year? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I caught him once, and this is the same thing happened, you know? And I don't know if you get older, all your old injuries come up, but I feel like it's happening. I'm turning 39 in a month, July 15th, if anyone's write that down.
Yeah. You're going to a party?
At Neville with the boys.
Yeah, let's go.
Round. But all the old injuries are coming up. So anyways, I was going through the rough, caught it, jammed my wrist, and then it just started to ache. The last three or four holes, and then at the end when you shake the guy's hand, I couldn't even shake his hand. But that night, you know when you get an injury and it starts getting that heartbeat?
Yeah, you could feel it. Right?
Yeah, I'm like trying to sleep. It's getting a heartbeat. I'm like, oh my God.
What do you mean it's getting a heartbeat?
You could feel it in your wrist.
Yeah, it's
you
like
feel
it's
the thumping.
The heartbeat?
Like, the pulse.
Oh.
The pulse, yeah. Like it's like, ow, ow, ow. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh boy, maybe I'll go get better. You know, 3 days later, we go to Charleston and I'm on the plane. And I look over and I show my Brandy my hand and it's like double the size.
Wow.
And I was like, something, I got to go. She's like, you got to go to the hospital. We go to the emerge there. And it was a rough emerge. You know when
X-ray you?
X-rayed me, nothing. And he's like, oh, this might be worse than a break because it's a bad sprain. A break, you just heal it. A sprain with the tendons and everything, you got to move it. You got to do exercise, all that stuff.
Can I use your membership at Neville while you're out? Do they have an absentee membership? Somebody's got to use it.
Someone. Well, I still go out. So now I go
right,
out with my
Bob?
Little guy.
I think so.
Yeah, I still go out with my little guy. My little guy's got a match. He's playing for Neville tonight. He's playing against Chartiers, your club.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Bob will be out there heckling him. That's against Bob's home. Like that. That's Bob's home territory.
Oh,
yeah. But
you going to be there today, Bob?
No, I'm not going to be there. I was
calling sick.
No, I was up there the other day. The days I wasn't here, I was shooting golf stories. One of them was at Chartiers. We do all these what we call Elite 18 golf holes.
That's awesome.
And there were some really good ones out there that I totally not just to Chartiers, but other places we went to.
Yeah. Really, you know, one I love out there, Bob, and I birdied it by accident one day, was
number two,
number maybe two or three.
Where down the hill?
You go way down the hill.
That's number two.
And then if you try to shoot up to the green and you're short, and you'll get an unbelievable roll of shame, like all the way back to you. Somehow I got it up there, and then I was above the hole.
Ooh, that's
coming downhill,
more impressive.
And I basically just closed my eyes, and it went down the hill.
See
and
what
went
he
in.
Did? He took his mind out of it. That's
Lanny
why he made
Fratteri couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe his eyes.
Not too many people make birdie there, even though that looks like an easy hole. It can be a disastrous hole.
Yeah,
I love those kinds of holes. But your mind allowed you to do it because you closed your eyes. You didn't think you.
Well, I didn't give a crap at that point.
What do you guys?
It's
think
hole
about-
number two. How quickly do you give up on a round?
Golf is like life. Here's how. Here's how, Bob. Here's how it is. The first hole and maybe the first two, I'm like a newborn baby. I don't know any better. I'm just happy to be here. Hello, world.
Keep it
that I'm
way.
A baby. I'm happy to be here. Then life sets in with all its resentments, all its guilt, all its anger. That's the next 16 holes, okay? And you can look at my scorecards. And then when I get to 17 and 18, I'm an old man and I don't give a damn anymore. That's
what
happens.
It's also the final spasm of a dying man.
Right. Could be, yeah.
One more.
You go watch my 18th holes that I have. It's unbelievable.
No, but you, again,
because
that's
I don't give a
Tyler,
crap
this,
anymore.
If I'm somebody who deals with this psychotic analysis shrink, whatever, I would say to him, your whole problem is in between your ears. It's that
I already
simple.
Know that.
Well,
Bob.
Then why don't you change it? Your
that's
attitude
like telling
matters.
Anybody who has problems in between their ears.
You have a choice. You have a choice.
Just change it.
You have a choice.
I don't have a choice.
Why do you give in to that?
I can't help it.
Sure you can help
No,
it.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Nobody can help the thoughts that pop in their mind, Bob, but then they can take the next right action. I will say that.
And that's what I'm asking you to do.
What's the next right action?
Change your attitude.
You got to read a book. Like every book. Every book.
What book in particular?
It's called The Short Game. I think it's all about mental game.
Yeah.
Like whenever you think about-
Bob
like,
Ford has a good book on that about short game and
is Bob
belief.
Ford retired?
I believe he is. He's always around.
Where is he?
He's here in Oakmont right now, but he spends most of his time down in Florida.
If I went and visited him and paid him, would he help me?
I'm sure he could. I don't know if he still does that.
Do you have his number?
But there are a lot of good teachers out there. You've already had a few of them at your, you know.
I have a great teacher in Eddie Vittmer.
Right.
Like I say, every time I go see him, I'm great. And if he was on the course with me, like a little, you know, guy on my right shoulder telling me what to do, I'd be unbelievable. But he's not. And whenever I leave him and I'm on my own, it all goes to hell.
News really good, Kevin Shields.
Kevin Shields. He just qualified for the senior PGA championship.
He's a stud.
He's really good. His son is a great lefty pitcher who the Pirates passed on. Next pick, he goes to the Kansas City Royals this past draft. And he's going to be a really good pitcher in the majors, I think.
Yeah. That's, again, all those books. I think you don't.
Well, give me a book.
I'm going to bring one. It's called all Mind Gym. Not the Penguins you see.
Mind Gym?
Yep. That's what the Penguins give just to deal with, like, you know.
Yeah, and it works. If you believe it, you read a lot. Jeez, you're one of the best at it. Read it, believe it, and exercise it.
We got to get him a sponsorship from somewhere, Golf Galaxy or something.
No. What we need are some – we need some
or
office
a mental
up there.
Training book or something.
Yeah, somebody has a psychology problem here.
Well, I got a question.
Tell me more about Mind Gym. The Penguins hand the book out to their players still, or they did when you played? Made that happen? Who wanted it to happen?
So Dan was the first, like when I first got into the league.
Dan Bylsma.
He was the first guy. He hired a sports psychologist, Amy Kimball. Awesome. It was so good.
Do you have her number?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob, I can have a psychologist, and a new teacher.
We are going to call her and just have a little chat online.
We should have her on the show.
She charges by the hour, though.
It's okay. Limits can say it.
But... So they gave us a book, and it doesn't talk directly about hockey. It's all golf, about like a bad shot, you know, believing in it. It's just one shot, like all that stuff. It's crazy.
I want that book.
Yeah.
All right. Things are looking up.
What do you think about that Fleetwood putt? You see where it hit a bump?
Yeah, it hit a bump.
What happened?
There's a ball mark that wasn't correctly fixed, it looked like. And he had a putt, and it hit it and put it off line. And it really cost him.
It was a big...
Was he ticked? Yeah. Did he blame anybody for it?
I didn't hear his post game.
Yeah, he was just like, "There's like I can complain and do all this, but it's already over with. I got to just move forward. I thought I played well." But yeah, it was a big moment that...
Who's responsible for that, Bob? The caddy? At a pro tournament, is the caddy responsible for fixing a divot or
a ball
mark?
The player. The player has to return. You know, that's what you're supposed to
do. So he should have checked. Is it on him then for not checking the path of his putt?
I don't know how obvious it was. Not until you see the ball roll over it that you noticed it, I think.
Yeah, it looked like normal. But it was like literally threw the ball to the right.
Yeah, it cost him about $600,000.
Oh, my God. Tyler, let me ask you this. I have a question for you. And welcome aboard here. Stanley Cup champion Tyler Kennedy, ratings guru, ratings accumulator Bob Pompiani, myself, and City Limits to my left. And what a man he is. He's got a Roberto Clemente t-shirt on. His t-shirt.
How do you feel about this one, Bob? I mean, this is one of my favorite shirts.
Yeah. Look, it's elite.
That is a good one.
Wow. I love that.
Incredible. Just incredible. Off the top.
You do have a lot of good t-shirts.
Where'd you get it?
Definitely you. My buddy Bruce, his shop.
Nice.
Plug for Bruce. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Tyler Kennedy, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. I think me and Bob were similar on this, but I'll just speak for myself at the moment. The Open. I don't know if you went. I don't know if you watched it. I loved the fact that the greatest golfers in the world were challenged like no other place, and that I was relating to people. Who's the one guy who kept snapping? Happos? I don't know what his name was.
Tyrell Hatton. On 17.
The Mad Hatter. He was losing his mind, just like I would. They're never really punished on a lot of the tour courses.
Right.
They hit a bad drive. The rough is low. They're on the green on the second shot. Here, right from the beginning, when Oakmont was invented and built, it was, you make a bad shot, you're going to get punished. Right. I love that. That was the drama to me. What did you think of the Open about that aspect of it in particular?
I loved it because it was so relatable.
Yes.
To like the average golfer. Like, hey, these guys are human. Like, how many flop shots that didn't go anywhere in that rough?
Oh, I loved it.
I've done that 600 times.
I know.
You know, and I'm like, this guy practices every day and he still does it. It made me feel good, but I love... When you feel that emotion from those guys, and like, I just love, like, I respect when they have that much pressure and they can still play their game, you know, and even like how they forget shots, like after those bad shots, like it was awesome. But again, seeing like Rory and those guys get like just frustrated, like show some emotion, because sometimes you don't see it on TV, but when you're there, you hear.
Were you there?
Yep. Yeah. And like you hear those voices, you hear them talk to themselves, you hear them like swear a little bit, you know, you hear like all that stuff. And like, that's why, you know, going to live sports is, you know, you forget how good it is. Cause sometimes we sit at home and just watch TV or watch the Penguins or watch whoever. But when you actually go and you hear the frustration, you hear the emotion, it just makes it that much better.
But also that was a choice he made that I didn't agree with him.
Who?
Hatton.
Oh.
He had a choice. He knew what's out there. A lot of land bombs out there. You know, the rough, the big mouth sand trap, all these things. And I was also surprised that J.J. Spahn decided to drive that hole. He could have been in the same position that Hatton was, and he could have lost the event. But he made, and he, give him credit, he pulled that shot off, put it on the green. But you have to understand that sometimes par is good. You know, these guys think differently when they're out there. And I understand why, because they're making birdies and eagles on most every golf course they play. This is not one of those courses. And if you think that way, sure, you could pull it off once in a while. But when you don't, that's when things fall apart.
Especially with that weather.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
So did you use your strength and your mucking and grinding abilities to get a better view on holes? Was it real crowded with people?
Oh, here comes TK. Watch out. He's going to hip check you into the boards.
Yeah, I wasn't there long. Like, it was just walking around. You know, like you're following the crowds, you're trying to get like, I enjoyed it and stuff, but like, you needed to have like a tent or in the stands, you know, you couldn't walk around. It was just so hot. The weather was brutal, but like, again, it was just cool seeing those guys out there.
Oh yeah. But
again, if you're like peeking through two shoulders to see the ball. You know what I mean? Like that was.
That's the only. That's why it's meant for television. But yeah. More than any sport out there that you can watch, that one is meant for television.
I never knew how fun it was to watch golf on television. It's like the red zone in football. Yeah. All you're seeing is the best stuff. And you don't see the boring stuff.
And they take you to where something's happening.
Right. Always. Exactly. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Limits Our Six-Pack is brought to you by Bet365. I have an off-the-beaten-path topic here. I was listening to Malzi yesterday, or was it Donnie? Now I can't even remember. Somebody was talking about venues in Pittsburgh and how they're all of a sudden old. Do you go to other sporting events in Pittsburgh? A Pirate game, a Steeler game, Tyler, now and again, a Pitt game, anything?
Yeah, so last year, I usually go to one baseball game, and then I go to one Steeler game. This year, I went to the...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
One at Christmas when they played
Kansas City,
and that was cool. I thought we'd see Taylor Swift, and you know that's what my mother and father-in-law got for Christmas. But they got the whole family tickets, which was really cool, you know. But yeah, not that they're getting dated. It just seems like they're not like the technology's not there like other rinks,
right?
And other stadiums,
rinks, whatever it might be. It's so strange to think that Three River Stadium was only alive for 30 years before it got blown up. And now PNC Park is around 25. Okay. Acrisure is around 25. PPG Paints is around 15, mm-hmm. something like that. The Pete is around 25. Mm-hmm. This is crazy, Bob. We're all getting old, and so are our stadiums. What's going to happen here?
Well, I think because of the technology issue, how everything changes day to day, let alone year to year, that's the biggest thing that changes. You know, there are different ways to do business right now. Right. And all these stadiums reflect that. The newest ones will have all the bells and whistles that you want to see. And these ones don't because they weren't available back then. So then,
does PNC Park need bells and whistles, though?
No, it needs a better team.
100%. Yeah, it definitely needs a better team. What's your most favorite venue in Pittsburgh? Limits, I'll start with you.
PNC Park is by far my favorite venue.
Me too.
Underrated venue, though, is Highmark Stadium. Now, we played a tournament there a couple of years ago. It was awesome. The views are incredible. And I've been to a Riverhounds game there, which I know Bob is very fond of.
I know, but I'm talking about our pro and the major stadium. What's your least favorite?
And by the way, that stadium... That's a perfect place. If you want to do concerts, that's a perfect place because you have the view of the city, river,
it's beautiful.
Everything.
What's your least favorite, Limits?
That's hard because I like them all, but PPG probably, because I think Acrisure is slept on. A lot of people say that there's so many things that are bad at Heinz Field that they don't like, that you need a new stadium. I actually like the stadium a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, but me personally, when I go to a game, I don't care about all those fancy bells and whistles and other stuff. I want to go make sure I have a good view and be able to see the game. And I like the light shows that they do before the game with the intros and everything. I don't really care about everything else.
But the corporate community does. And
I'm not in corporate community,
though.
When they
sell suites and stuff like that, it's a big part of it.
What's your favorite venue, Bob?
I think PNC Park is, although I agree with Austin about Acrisure Stadium. I think it's fine for a football venue. Again, my focus always is on the game.
I mean, me too. But let's be honest, it's kind of a crappy venue in the NFL. I just don't care. I just want, when I watch football, I want a patch of grass and a bunch of people in the seats. But NFL stadiums go, it's not great.
But again, it's 20, at the time when it was built, a lot of people thought it was. And so everything changes in a time. So I think they're going to probably look to change and upgrade a lot of things. I saw that the governor the other day said there will be no state funding of any stadiums moving forward.
He didn't say that.
What did he say?
He said that, and I don't blame you for saying that, by the way, because the AP completely misreported it.
Okay. What did
he
they
said
say?
He's open to talking about
okay.
state funding.
That's not how it came out.
I know. I know. The AP story was like, you know, he says no state funding. But then since then, people have been like, what was that person listening to? And if you look at the quotes, he said, I'm open to state funding.
Okay. Well, that's a bailout in some ways. I mean, they still have to put in their own money, and they should. But,
especially in the NFL, right. They should pay for their own stadiums.
Oh, absolutely, because the money comes in crazily.
What's your favorite playing venue around here? You're biased, Tyler.
Yeah, I think PPG, for people putting in money and upgrading, like the Penguins put in the community, put so much money into that rink. Did you see the scoreboard? Like,
I think that's a new one, a bigger one, better one. Yeah.
Even like the Casamigo Club, like they're every year they're adding on. I think, I don't know how many millions they put into it last summer, but I feel like they're the closest with technology moving forward. Everything is like
screen
and all that. Like, I think that.
Did you enjoy actually playing hockey, though, more there or in the old barn?
Oh, the old barn.
The old barn had the sound.
The old barn. That was like Pittsburgh.
That was Pittsburgh.
You know, because.
Right, Bob?
All the old.
Oh, I loved it there, too. Yeah. I did.
You want when the music. When you want a little rust coming down. You want a little dust coming down on you. That, I thought, like. Now the rinks, the fans are so far away. You know, the seats are like angled away, where before they're angled up, so they're right on top of you.
I thought my best hockey venue I've ever been to, we only went there to do a feature at the time, was Le Colisée in Quebec.
Oh, I wish I had gone there.
Oh, my. You talk about being on top of everything. You were on top of everything.
That's one place I wish I had gone. What was the loudest moment you ever heard at the old barn? When you guys had that... Was it your goal in game six?
Game six was a big one. Like game six,
I thought that was one of the best games ever.
Yeah. And then maybe Jordan Staal when he scored that shorthand.
Oh, my God.
That was the same. Yeah, that was the same game, right?
Yeah. That place was rock.
Same game. You're right. The loudest I ever heard it. Here, Bob, here's the loudest I ever heard each building that I've been to. The loudest I ever heard Mellon Arena, Civic Arena, the Igloo, was when Mario, when it was known he was going to retire, and it was game four at home against the Flyers in 96, and he scored against Garth Snow on a breakaway, on a pass from Ian Moran.
Quick little wrist shot.
And he raised his hands to the heavens as if to the hockey gods, and the place exploded. Wow. It exploded like Three Rivers Stadium when they blew it up. It was incredible.
And then when he returned... on his comeback.
Yes.
That was as good. The anticipation, same thing.
Hines Field was absolutely Polamalu's interception. You agree? AFC title
about
game?
Crowd sound?
Yes.
Yes, I would say so, yes. Because that sealed it against Baltimore. What better could you have?
And right? PNC Park clearly was Russell Martin homers off Cueto, right?
That was as loud as I've ever heard that place by far. Maybe the loudest I've ever heard anything.
Me too.
It's hard to compare those two, all of those. But that place was just so hungry for winning, hungry for everything, and they got it that night.
It felt like we were in a flying saucer, like we had lifted the place off the ground, and we were just flying.
Well, the crowd had a lot to do with it, obviously.
They were everything,
They were just whole
Limits,
different
what's
brand.
What's the loudest you ever heard a crowd, anywhere, anytime, other than the Baldwin Championship game?
that's a good question. I'm going to say, man... probably the game that I was at, Penguins Senators, that 7-0 playoff game, Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah.
That when the building erupted on the first goal, second goal, and it just got louder and louder every single goal until like 6 and 7 when it was out of hand.
Were you at the Kunix game?
Yeah, I was not.
I was just going to say that was, or when Sid came back from his concussions.
That was also a good one.
I'll tell you what, you were involved in one of the loudest ovations ever at PPG Paints when we've talked about this. You had been a healthy scratch.
Yes.
The Islanders game series was way closer than anybody thought it should be. It was tied at 2, game 5, I think.
Yep.
0-0 in that game. You could cut the tension with a knife. And in comes Bob, Tyler
Kennedy. Kennedy. Tyler Kennedy.
And he rifles one in, and the place just went crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
what did you feel like when you did that?
Oh, it's, you know why? Cause
liken it to something.
Yeah, I was going through a lot with like being a healthy scratch after, you know, winning a cup and being a secured player on the team, being a healthy scratch. and then getting my chance. And obviously, they were struggling. You know, the Penguins were looking for a spark. And to score that goal, it was like, you know, it was more like an FU to, like, Dan and them for not playing me earlier, you know. And then to see the rink, you know, it's just that was again when you score a goal in the NHL, it's like you're walking on water, you know, the feeling, like that emotion, and like
especially that one.
And I can, you know, I didn't score many, and that's why I celebrated like crazy.
So did everybody else. Bomb, yeah. I feel like I've inadvertently cut you off twice today because my timing with you is off today, our rhythm and everything else, and I apologize.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I never think that.
All right. I'm paranoid over here.
The golf got in his head. He's all...
I'm paranoid about that.
We have to straighten him out. Send him the book. I'll call Bob.
So, Bob Ford, the book that Tyler has, and also Amy Kimball. Is that her name? Sports psychologist? Yeah. See, that'll make everything worse. It feels like, here's the other thing that happens in golf. The more, quote, help I get from people,
right,
the worse everything becomes.
Did you see that text I sent you the other night?
Yes.
That's kind of what I was thinking about you. You're getting too much help. Sometimes you can get too much help. And then all of a sudden you tie yourself up like you're in a corset.
Exactly.
You can't move because you're getting so much thought
Isn't
about
that
your
true
swing.
In every sport? Like you get too much coaching, too many tips, and you're like, just let me play.
Yeah. It's like in San Jose... There was a guy, it was called Elite Hockey Science, and he was doing all the top players, like Pavelski and all those guys. And so I started sending my clips, and he was just breaking my game down like crazy. And I'd be on the ice, and I'd be thinking 14 million things instead of playing. Like, it helps, but it doesn't. Like, you got to take it with a grain of salt, you know?
Yeah, when you're out there in golf, you can't take that with you. You have to believe the preparation you've made is going to lift you to where you haven't been before.
I'm trying to have one swing thought. And it's usually the wrong one.
Man. You ever go
on and that machine? In and of itself is a bad swing thought. Do you see the depths I go to here, Bob? The mental just gymnastics I play? I have one swing thought, and then I tell myself that's a bad thought, and then I tell myself in and of itself that's a negative swing thought, my one swing thought that's supposed to be positive.
There's too much going on. There's like an angel and a devil in your head, both of you, and trying to exist together. One's pulling you harder than the other, and you go back, and then... You can't swing like that. That's what I'm saying. Free your mind.
I know.
Go up there and believe it.
Like, think.
I don't believe it. That's the problem.
Like, my son has got a match. His first match ever.
Right.
And you know it's going to be a mental game. It's not. He's got the skill.
Right. But how young is he?
He's 6, but he still plays mental games.
6.
What's the first thing every 6 to 10-year-old? They're trying to kill the ball, and it flubs 2 feet.
Yeah.
And I'm trying. I'm thinking right now, like, okay, what do I say? So he just, like, plays loose, and I don't know if there's a word for it.
You allowed to coach him during the match?
See, we went out last night, so we go out at night and we just play a couple holes, and I was telling him, hey, he's got to bring his hands through and high, and he turned over and he goes, Dad, shut up. and I was like, oh. And then he had he loves doing, like, you know, the one step, and he cracks it, and I think when he steps, like, the one step, his hands go through more, because right now he's got like a hockey swing where he ropes it around. But again, I tell him so much, and he's like, Dad, I just want to just shut up.
I think at that age, you just kind of let him go. Get him interested. Yeah. Whatever happens, they'll learn as they go.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean as a dad. You're always there trying to get more.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
that's a hard for a 6-year-old. But
it's
can't
a hard balance.
You're playing Chartiers. There's a match, and he's 6 years old.
6 years old. It's called the Junior PGA Tour. So all, like, I think there's like 15 kids from Neville Wood playing against Chartiers. It's 150 yards out for my son's age, which is so cool, because, like, if he has a good shot, he can hit it, you know. But it's just this is the first time he's done it, but it's just like,
it's good education.
Getting like the most, like, just learning the game, like the mental part of the game, that, like, a little bit of pressure on them, you know. They say, like, if you want to know, like, something about someone, take them golfing. If they move the ball a little bit,
oh, you'll learn a lot.
Yeah,
there's more cheating than that.
How they handle
any game,
like,
I've
the
ever
bad
seen.
Shots.
Yeah,
it's not fixing ball marks. It's taking too long. All these things that violate the etiquette of the game.
I don't cheat. I am bad. And
no, you
I do
never
throw
cheat.
Fits,
honestly, I think you do a good job with that. Yeah. Sometimes you reverse cheat.
Yeah,
you cheat yourself.
Right,
is what I think.
Yeah,
there are times you have an unplayable area or something. Yeah, I'll hit it here. No, you don't need to hit it here. So be kind to yourself, Joe.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Tyler. Penguins have the 11th and 12th picks in the draft. Does anybody in this room know the last time the Penguins had two picks in the top 10 limits? Wrong.
I think Tyler? I do.
It's got to be like 06, 07.
I think it was 05.
Was it the Olimata draft?
No, it was the Sidney Crosby draft, wasn't it?
It was the Derek. No, go ahead.
Didn't they have a snake draft? I remember that at one point. One of those snake drafts that we often do here.
Let me check on this because no, they did not. The only
and when
other
I say
time,
back to back, I'm talking about last in one round, first in the next.
Let me phrase it this way. I may have phrased it improperly. The last time the Penguins had two picks in the top 12 of a draft was when?
Well, that's different. You said top 12 of a draft. If you said back to back picks, then I bet you if you look at 2005, you'll see
they
that.
Did have Pouliot and Mata. Were but the last right. time they had two picks in the top 12 was when? Bob?
1990?
Wrong. Limits?
I gave my guess. Well, I thought it was the Pouliot Mata draft.
Give another guess.
2000.
Wrong. Tyler?
1999.
Just keep going back.
Wrong.
1974.
Deeper? What?
Later?
Earlier.
Now we're playing The Price is Right. Higher or lower?
1984.
Oh. And that was the only time they took some guy named Mario Lemieux first and Doug Bodger. Now,
that's
technically,
right.
Their first year in the league as an expansion.
There was another first round pick in there. Do you know who it was in that same draft?
Bélanger.
Roger Bélanger.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. Very good, Bob. So, what should they do? People like Josh Yoey are encouraging them to move up in the draft and get a premium player, or should they just keep those two picks, or should they package them and use them some other way to make a deal to improve their team or improve their future? What would Tyler Kennedy do?
It all depends how deep this rebuild is. Because if the rebuild's deep and they don't want to start winning a little bit, you move up in the draft and you go as high as possible. Or you sell those two for a high draft pick in 26, 27 draft, where that talent level is very good next year for that draft. I think,
right.
But you know, there's a lot of different ways you can go about this. I think maybe trade a first rounder for a player somewhere out there so we can start addressing some of the weaknesses on the Penguins and then keep one.
What would you do, Bob?
I would probably just keep both because I don't know how much – I don't know what it would take in the NHL to move up to a spot where you're thinking of. And I also don't know, again, full transparency, most of these guys I don't know much about. Do you?
No. Half the people making the picks don't seem to know much about them. It's really hard to make it as a pick.
I would probably keep
hockey.
Both unless I can convince someone and you may have to throw in another player that they like to move up that high. If you have that strong of a feeling about someone in the top five that you wouldn't want to get.
Well, I agree with Yoey the Penguins are accumulating assets. They're starting to have some pretty good young players. They've got bunches of picks coming, but you win with stars. Now, I don't know. If you move up to the third pick, is there a star player available in this draft? If there is, then I'm willing to take a chance on a star because I think they're going to have plenty of young talent rolling in here in the next few years. But if you have that without the stars, then you don't have much.
You need stars. You need one or two guys, one on the back end and one on the front end. That's your legit star.
Yeah.
And it could be even maybe two stars, two centermen that you roll back to back. I think having two elite top lines is a huge, huge advantage over every other team. When we played, you know, everyone would take on Sidney Crosby, best D, and then we'd come back with Evgeny Malkin. Right. Like that's, you can't beat that. Then you look at the Florida Panthers. They're coming back with three lines. You know, it's you're not going to beat that. So
I remember Tom Fitzgerald. You like him? I love that guy.
Fitzy's awesome.
Talking to him when him and Ray Shearer went to the Devils. We were actually talking about the drafting of Brian Russ, but they were starting to build a nice team. And I'm like, you know, how far do you guys contend? Like, what's the difference between you and these Penguins teams that you guys had? He's like, we have a lot of young talent, Joe. You know what we don't have? Those two blank blanks at the top of our lineup. We don't have Sid and Gino. And neither did anybody else.
Yeah.
That's what you had over everybody else.
It's hard to come up with those kind of people.
Yeah,
that's like winning the lottery, right?
Literally, they won the lottery.
Like generational players like
and then
that.
You add Staal as your third line center.
But when you think of the years before that, I wasn't here, but it seemed like the Penguins were pretty dark around here.
Oh, yeah.
Playing for the Penguins.
Oh, it was dark.
Right.
You know, like that. You have to go through some dark years to get to the promised land. And
you got to have those top two, three, four picks. And I agree with Yoey. If this is a way to get them, and if there's somebody available you think can be not Crosby or Malkin, but a star player, go get them.
It's so tough, though. Because playing junior hockey or playing college hockey, I think college is a little bit easier. But when you transfer to the NHL game, like, it's just a different game. And that's why some guys work out, some guys don't. And that's why you find guys later in the draft that become stars because they're more built for the NHL. They're built for, you know, that pro hockey. So it's tough to really build a team through draft picks.
Yeah.
I think you
guys, not even the Panthers were built that. They only have four draft picks.
Exactly. When you see how many first rounders they got from other teams, it's like what he did there was unreal. From like,
I know,
just getting the two guys at the deadline with Jones and Marchand, and then getting Kachuk, getting Bennett. Yeah,
they're brilliant in how they put together that team and like what they added to.
They're structured for the next 3 years. They can win it for the next two or three years.
Would you bet on that?
No.
I wouldn't either. I think it's hard to do
it. You run out of gas.
At some point.
Unless you start changing the team around. Unless you like reload half the team to get fresh guys in there. Like, I think it's a bad move to re-sign Bennett.
You do.
I think Bennett does so well there because he's not the front line guy. And I think he is a guy that's a piece of the puzzle that no one really looks at. When you look at that team, like you're looking at Barkov, you're looking at Verhaeghe, you're looking at those guys. Sam Bennett, yeah, he made a huge impact. But he only had 50 points this year. Sometimes he got red hot at the right time, and now he's going to sign a huge contract for a long time. I can almost guarantee he's not going to live up to the expectations.
He picked the right time to be a free agent.
Hot at the right time. But again, I don't think.
Would you take him if you were the Penguins? Not that they will, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, he's available for anyone, really.
It depends at the right cost. Like, I wouldn't pay him more than $7 or $8 million. I don't think he's that kind of player.
But he is the kind of player who can add to your core.
Top six, for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, and make a difference.
But he ain't getting that many points on the Penguins, right? Like, he's not putting up those points on the Penguins, especially in playoffs. You go to a playoff team, if you put him on Edmonton, if you change Draisaitl and Bennett, it's a completely different Sam Bennett, in my opinion. Yes, he's still going to run around. He's still going to hit. But I would think his goal production's cut in a quarter. I think the team around him made him look really good. He was in the right situation. Like you said, he got red hot at the right time, and he's built for playoff hockey. But he's also built with the right team around him.
Not in a different sort of way. It reminds me of Robbie Brown playing with Mario and how he cashed in on playing. But there's a lot to be said for finishing plays, and he knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Warren Young. When Warren Young played, he made money because of Mario. They all should give Mario a big chunk of change and say, hey, thank you. You helped me raise this money that I would never have gotten.
Well, just think of like Chris Kunitz, Pascal Dupuis.
Yeah. Like Crosby, right?
Like, I play with Cooney. What a great player. Just always in the right spot. Made the right plays. But Chris Kunitz was on Team Canada. And I don't think it was because Chris Kunitz was like one of the best players. I just think he played so well with Sidney Crosby. He had a great finish. And then Pascal with Dupuis. Dupuis was like a third and fourth line guy with me. And then he figured out how to play with Sidney Crosby, which was the hardest thing to do. And what was his last deal? It was like $4.5 million for like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Like, you know, even Gensel. But Gensel proved to everyone that he can play without Sid, especially. But Gensel, he's playing with Kucherov too. It's having those guys that are able to play off those elite players and have a finish.
Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Brian Rust's no movement clause expires on, what is it, 6 days from now? Something like that. Expires. So let me ask you this, Tyler Kennedy. Is Rust more valuable to this Penguin team as a leader and a really good player as they move into their sort of new stage? Or is he more valuable as a trade chip? I see a couple people have suggested, what would it be like if the Penguins traded him to the Buffalo Sabres for J.J. Paterka, for example?
Who didn't he just get moved?
Did he?
I thought he got traded. Yep.
Did he already? Yep. Where?
Where'd he go?
To Utah.
Yes.
When did that happen, Bob?
Today, yesterday. I thought. It was late last night or some.
Holy yeah. bird milk.
Yeah, Paterka's a good player, and he's going to be good with, is it Logan Cooley out there? Who's yeah. That's a pretty
good. We'll take him off the board then. But
I get your point.
Let him serve as an example. Is Rust more valuable here or as a trade chip?
He's so much more valuable here.
Yeah?
Yeah, just he's been around. You see his point production. Like if the one thing knock against him, everything else is so unbelievable, but he's hurt. You know, he skates so fast, I feel like he gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But when you look at his production and you see his price tag, like he's scoring 35 goals. He's probably going to hit 40 this year, right? I think he had 38 goals this year. Like, he's a top goal. Like, when you have a guy like that that can secure that top winger spot, you got to keep him. And then when you see he's been mentored with Sidney Crosby, Genny Malkin, all those guys for so long, I think guys like that keep the tradition, keep the standard going. You have to keep a guy like Brian Rust. And when's the last time a guy from Buffalo went to another team? Well, actually, Eichel did. But a guy that was like on a losing team then went to a different team and like lit it up. It's that losing culture. Brian Rust is a Penguin through and through. I would never get rid of Brian Rust. I love the way he plays. I think he's a big piece of the puzzle. He's getting better every year. I think there's some other issues they have to solve. Like, I think the biggest issue with the Penguins right now, don't you think we have to solve the goaltender issue?
That and the Erik Karlsson issue.
Karlsson has a $5 million bonus coming up, I think, if I saw this correctly.
Does he?
July 1st.
Two more years at $20 million or so for the Penguins. Right. That's their responsibility. They're going to have to keep some money, but it's time to trade him. What do you think should happen with the goalies then? Who do you think will be the goalie on opening night?
I'm going to say Tristan Jarry.
Yeah, me too.
Really? I think the Penguins are going into the training camp with an open mind of like, this is going to be a dogfight to see who's going to win the top spot. Like, it should be like that. Like, the top two guys, they haven't proved that they're legit starting goalies or that they can compete at a consistent level in the NHL. Like, I think Mershoff should have an opportunity to see what he has. Like, I would play the wheels off him.
He's the most intriguing guy
by far
to me.
And even, like, he's a good goalie, but just hearing what, like, the Wheeling coach and all those guys talk about how he battles and how he doesn't let goals, like, affect him, like, I think that's huge. But, again, we have two first-round picks. Would you trade those two first-round picks for a legit good young goalie? I would consider it.
You don't think that Mirashov fits into that category as a prospect?
But if you can find a goalie...
You mean one who's already somewhat established?
Already established. You're going to run with him for, you know, 5 to 6 years, and then Mirashov is going to learn off him, and then he steps in. Like, look at the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers did so well because how good was Bobrovsky? Bobrovsky was the best goal. He's the best goalie in the league, I think. And he's consistent. He never lets those goals that change momentum. Like, you need a goalie. That's, you always start when you're building a team, you start with defense first. And you want to make sure you have a good defense. And then before that, it's a goalie. You need to have a goalie. We had Fleury. We had Murray. You know, guys that would not lose a game because of a weak goal. So that's a big – there's going to be some decisions made on the goalie situation because something has to happen. We can't just keep going. We can't lead the league with first shot, first goal this year.
No, they did last year.
That's unacceptable. What's that?
They did last year.
I know. It's almost 2 years in a row. That's unacceptable.
It's amazing.
It's a deflator. Can't have it.
Oh,
Tyler, we appreciate the time today. It's time to run along. I hope the wrist gets better. Hope we're out there on the golf course very soon.
Are you on the disabled list with golf?
Yeah, disabled. Yep. Know what I've been doing? I practice one hand. They say if you want to learn to get better at golf, you do the top hand. You just learn the form because your top hand is the power, right? Mm-hmm. Your bottom hand. I don't want to say too much around
Is the top hand the power or the bottom hand is the power?
No, it's the left.
Yeah,
if you're a right-hand golfer, it's your left hand to come down and through. If you can do it one-handed, it does help your flow.
And the bottom's the accuracy where it doesn't fall off.
Do you think
the right hand should be along for the ride?
Yes.
Do you think I'm going to play well today, Bob?
If you allow yourself to.
I'm going
free
to
yourself.
This is my
Free Joe Starkey's mind.
This is my starting
free
ball today.
Free Joe Starkey's
mind. This ball right here. He went through the rigors yesterday at Valley Brook. And
look
he's
at that. He's already bringing up negativity. That's your thing.
No,
he
played well.
Negativity
this guy played
when
well
it comes
yesterday.
To golf.
He's my starter today.
You're giving credit to the ball, not yourself. Again, a weak-minded approach. You have to think about yourself. You will do. That ball has nothing to do with success. It's you that drives
look
the ball
the into
the hole.
Look at the grass stains on him, Bob. He went out there and battled.
You got to try. You got to go at least three holes, 1, 2, 3 with your driver, just to keep me and Bob happy.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you.
That's Tyler Kennedy.
Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.